And on today's Windy City Crewcast, we're sitting down with Kelly Simpkins. That's right, my girlfriend's on the show. She hasn't been on in a while, and she's got a lot to talk about. She's off to do a big project in Michigan, and then a part of a big anniversary special theatrical event that might be coming to a city near you, because it's going to be in 100 theaters all on the same night. Plus, Richard Knight Jr. talking to you about a queer cinema festival going on of movies once a week, and all of them queer, with queer reviewers sitting down and talking with you and telling you their significance in cinema history. Also, we are launching the new He Said, She Said conversation, a little twist to our bisexual segment, By the Way, with Sin and Jack, both on the same show. Plus, Kelly and I've got some tips on television we think you should have been watching, and maybe you can still watch, because we are, and we are loving it. And I am off to a European city and a European country. Which one is it? Do you know?
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And I'm trying to catch up to life. The clock keeps ticking away, and I'm losing myself every day. All in the name of life.
Ain't nobody hearing me. Oh, ain't nobody feeling me.
Just wanna be by myself.
Ain't nowhere to run to, but I keep
listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 323. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I am Kelly Simpkins.
Kelly Simpkins, who has not been on our show in quite a long, long time.
It's been a long, long time.
You've been
Amy.
Busy being my girlfriend. It's a busy job, right?
It's a hard job.
It's a hard job.
It's what it is.
Drive around to Chicago suburbs and go see theater.
Thrilling.
Thrilling. We're going tonight to see Cabaret, because life is a cabaret.
Old Chum,
out at Drury Lane.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Cabaret?
Never seen Cabaret.
That's right.
Jean causerait, bon gazante, bon chante,
those are not the words.
I know.
It's
our
not
own
the words.
Special pre-cabaret, pre-song song.
Pre-song song?
Yes.
You're so good. You know,
song,
I felt
song,
like...
blue.
Song, song, blue.
Weeping on your willows. Wow.
Wow, we've already digressed. You would think that we were...
We always digress, which is probably why you don't have me on the show.
No,
that
often. It's okay. People like it. They always say,
y'all... The others are smarter than me.
Y'all are so funny. They're not smarter than
yes,
you.
Yes, they are. They're more spontaneous and articulate and poetic.
Steven
and
Rader would say he's smarter than you are.
Crazy. Well, that's true. I'm sure he's right. Balder than I am.
Mitchell's just, you know, more Jewish than you.
And funnier.
And Alex is just more smaller. Transgendered than you. Not
and
much.
And funnier.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
I can't do a Katharine Hepburn.
You could.
Norman. Alone.
But I wanted to have you on because you're getting ready to leave me.
I am getting ready to leave you.
And not
you.
In the official sense, as if I'm done. I'm done with this relationship. Slam the door. But you are getting ready to leave me. You might be slamming the door. I don't know. We're driving each other a little nutty this last counting down the days of you leaving and
a little
me
nutty.
Leaving.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Kalamazoo, Michigan.
I mean, I obviously know.
To create and direct a show with the students from Western Michigan University.
About?
Well, essentially the overarching theme and subject matter is death and dying and euthanasia and Kevorkian, Dr. Kevorkian.
Just a light little skit, huh?
It's going to be
a little sketch comedy.
It's going to be a light, humorous romp.
Yeah, digging into your improv roots.
I think it's going to be...
It's intense.
Extremely thought-provoking and hopefully be a conversation within their community that is, at some moments, profound.
Do you think more gay people... Do you believe in the death penalty? The gay penalty. The death penalty?
I do believe in the gay penalty.
Do you believe in the gay penalty?
Fucking fry them all!
Do you believe in
homos?
Do you believe in the death penalty?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not.
And do you believe in euthanasia?
I'm going to reserve that answer for now.
For now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think more gay people believe in the death penalty or would believe in euthanasia? Are we a community that thinks about those things differently? I don't know, with the AIDS epidemic, with watching so many of our own die, with, I don't know, being... I just always
I think
that the right-wingers like the death penalty, right?
Is much more liberal-minded,
mm-hmm.
is much more compassionate
mm-hmm.
as a community. So I would think, I certainly don't know statistics on this, but I would think that there would be a larger part of our population that would be anti-death penalty.
I think you need to have a gay character in this play, because I know you deal with verbatim interviews and...
Hopefully we will. That's really not up to me in terms of choosing the subjects that are being interviewed.
Yeah.
I don't know if we will. I think,
out there that I think it would be interesting to have a gay person because I think they might have different feelings on the subject. I don't know why, but, you know, I think they would. I mean, of race, different cultures, different types of people, I think, have a different response spiritually, as you say. I don't know. Some people would say it's more compassionate to consider euthanasia, and some people might not think that's compassionate at all.
Well, hopefully, and again, not up to me. This is up to the students and who they're seeking out. But I hope it will be a multi-voiced, very diverse show in terms of its subjects and the interviews. But again, I won't know that until I get there.
So you're going back to college?
Going back to college. Getting
my...
You're
going to be hitting on sorority girls or something?
I doubt the sorority thing will happen for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. They might have cute sorority girls
in
Michigan.
They might. God, I hope they have some cute gals in Michigan, because I love to look.
You love to look at the cute gals.
And fantasize.
Now, you're actually...
But I do believe, yes. I need to say this, do believe that...
She needs to say this, folks.
That individuals have a right to choose their own death experience. I think people have the right to choose when they're going to die and how they're going to die with dignity. I do believe that. I don't know how that translates as of yet in terms of my feelings and opinions about euthanasia and some of the subject matter of this play, but I do feel that people have a right to choose when that is.
Right.
And that no one has a right governmentally, politically, to sanction an individual's free choice in that.
So, you're going to be gone for a while in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are also, and we're on the go, folks, so we're in my car driving in case you, the ambient sound is rain and, you know, a typical Chicago summer day.
And a hybrid. That's the ambient sound.
And a hybrid that I'm in.
Folks.
You know, watching my carbon footprint, as I should. But, you're also, and the word just kind of came out through the mainstream press and the gay press, that there is this enormous effort with the Laramie Project, Epilogue, which has been, why don't you tell me what the Epilogue of the Laramie Project is and what your part in that is going to be, because you're going to be doing that as well here coming up in October.
Mm-hmm. Going to be in New York City. At Alice Tully Hall, Lincoln Center in New York.
But what is it? What is the Epilogue?
We are doing, essentially, and this is just what I know, there have been a handful of people who are original collaborators, including Moises Kaufman.
And you're one of the original members.
Or one of the original
but
members.
Not one of the original writers.
Well, we all co-collaborated and wrote it together, but there was a head writer who was Lee Fondakowski and associate writers who were Stephen Belber and Greg Perotti and Moises, obviously. So no, I was not one of the main writers, but in terms of creating the show, we all collaboratively created that. So when Matthew Shepard's, the 10-year anniversary of his death came around,
which was last October,
Moises thought it would be a really great idea to return to Laramie with a handful of other people, myself not included, to, she keeps moving this mic, folks, to essentially interview new people, and to interview a lot of the people that were main characters or peripheral characters in the play itself, to see what has changed after 10 years, who they are, who the town is, has anything changed politically in terms of rights or legislation, what
Laramie,
is the
Wyoming?
Lasting legacy of Matthew Shepard and that type of violence and crime that was committed there. So just to ask a lot of different questions and to at some point, hopefully soon, publish that epilogue within the actual play.
So has Laramie, Wyoming, has Laramie, Wyoming brought hate crime laws into law? Hate crime, I don't know, I'm trying to say. Do they have hate crime legislation in Laramie, Wyoming?
As far as I know, no, they do not.
Okay, and were you all able to find, do you think they were able to find a lot of the significant characters of the original play?
I think there were a lot of the original characters have been re-interviewed, and then they found some new ones that I think are really going to add to the epilogue and to a new conversation a decade later.
Yeah, well, you know, and what's really interesting, and of course she's been on the Queercast many times, is that, you know, after 10 years, the transformation of Judy Shepard from being a character that wasn't even portrayed in your play, The Laramie Project, actually Dennis Shepard, her husband, had one of the most moving, which is just his transcript of his statement honoring McKinney, life in prison, as opposed to the death penalty, as we take this full circle with the death penalty. But Judy was not a voiced character, and she has become such a voice for what is the legacy of her son, and a huge voice in the community on so many different levels. So there, in and of itself, is already, you know, transformed a life and the effects of her life, I would say, on so many people from coast to coast in the GLBT community
who
have come in contact with her.
Lots of branches on that tree.
Man.
And the amazing thing, and they have solidified now, what's going to be happening on the night of October 12th is that we're going to be reading it with some of the people who did the film version of The Laramie Project, including the entire original company, as far as I understand. And additionally, there are going to be 99 other theaters, communities, that are going to be performing this epilogue at the same time that we are.
So there's 100 companies that are going to be performing this all on October 12th.
Correct.
Around the U.S. And I know that About Face Theater is going to be doing this in conjunction with the Goodman Theater for those people in Chicago who would like to maybe come and see it.
Yeah, please go. It's going to be a really, I think, special and memorable evening.
Yeah, and we'll have more on that on the Queercast. Well, hey, we got a lot of news to tell you about. Plus, in this show, Kelly's going to be with me the whole time, but we have a new spin on our By the Way Bisexual segment. That's right. We got Sin and Jack now having a conversation together. A he said, she said conversation from the B perspective. They're both dishing it out. This week's topic, Gerard Butler. He's a hunky, hunky man. And now he's maybe bi, saying that he's been with men and he's been with women. Also, Richard Knight Jr. on the show today to talk about a new series of queer cinema films being shown with some of Chicago's best and brightest queer movie critics. All happening. It's the Queer Cinema. And Richard Knight Jr. is going to be telling you all about that. And then Kelly and I'll be back because I'm going somewhere as well and I haven't talked about it much. And we'll talk about that later on in the show. It's good to have you here.
It's lovely to be here.
Driving in the rain. Let's go to the news.
Want to take your tennis game to the next level? Midtown Tennis Club wants to send you back to school for its patented instruction program, Tennis Schools. Whether you're a beginner or advanced intermediate, Tennis Schools has a program to fit your game. Enrollment in Tennis Schools starts at only $105 and includes a four-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, including access to Midtown's fitness center, practice lanes, and locker rooms, as well as invitations to two tennis parties and instructions from the country's best pros, all starting at $105. That's less than $30 per lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago and just click on the Tennis Schools link. Who said school can't be fun?
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
Anchorage, Alaska Mayor Dan Sullivan said that he is considering if he should veto an ordinance that protects residents on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. The city's assembly approved the ordinance by a vote of 7-4. If Sullivan rejects the ordinance, the assembly will need to override his move with an 8-vote supermajority.
U.S. District Judge Garnet Thomas Isola will hear a lawsuit brought by Lambda Legal on behalf of Robert Frank, an HIV-positive retired minister, against Fox Ridge. The administration at Fox Ridge, an assisted living facility in North Little Rock, Arkansas, ejected Frank from the building after learning of his seropositivity.
In Pennsylvania, trans woman Caitlin Blatt is claiming that her former employer, Global Staffing Services Agency Manpower, Inc., asked for a photograph of her genitalia so she could continue working for the company. In 2007, Manpower placed Blatt at Sapa Industrial Extrusions, where she worked as a temporary factory worker. She was let go after a month, being told that she wasn't physically well enough to work there. Her Manpower branch manager then reportedly told Blatt that a letter documenting her gender reassignment surgery, along with a photograph of her genitalia area, would be needed before she could return to Sapa.
The West Hollywood City Council of California has created the first ever official municipal advisory body focusing on trans individuals. The goals of the Transgender Advisory Board include increasing job opportunities, HIV/AIDS prevention, establishing housing equality, and making city resources available to the transgendered community.
The American Bar Association approved a resolution supporting the repeal of part of DOMA. The resolution, carried by voice vote, seeks the end of the provision in DOMA that excludes married same-sex couples from access to federal benefits. Also, the National Education Association has aligned itself with LGBT causes involving DOMA, an Employee Non-Discrimination Act, the Uniting American Families Act, and the Domestic Partnership Benefits and Obligations Act.
In world news, in Serbia, the football fans whose signatures appeared on anti-gay graffiti in Belgrade over the past few weeks have been condemned by the two clubs concerned, Red Star Belgrade and Partizan. Much of the graffiti called for the killing of gays.
And in Israel, the LGBT community is still reeling in light of a recent incident where two people were shot and killed at a Tel Aviv gay community center. Israeli gays are saying that their sense of insecurity is gone, or at least shaken. In addition, the shootings have stoked ire at Orthodox groups in Israel accused of inciting hatred against gays.
In entertainment news, gay columnist Meryl Cohn, also known as Ms. Behavior, has won the 2009 Jane Chambers Playwriting Award for her new work, The Seagulls of Montauk. Seagulls features an LGBT-friendly Jewish family with three adult sisters, their mother, and two friends who gather to close out their recently deceased father's beach house. Ms. Behavior is the nationally syndicated lesbian advice columnist with irreverent humor and tips about relationships, manners, and sex.
80s model singer Samantha Fox of the song Touch Me is apparently having a same-sex ceremony in England with girlfriend Myra Stratton. Fox said, "I love her completely and I want to spend the rest of my life with her."
Boy George and Sir Elton John have ended their feud. George said, "Elton offered me love and support. He also sent me a lovely music player. The feud started a few years ago when George called John a humorless grand old dame to the media."
Is Queen Latifah coming out of the closet? Well, the actress-singer recently was spotted partying with lesbians at the New York City club Eden, where she ordered bottle service for her friends and talked with the club's manager.
Point Foundation, the nation's largest scholarship-granting organization for LGBT students of merit, will honor lesbian award-winning actress Cherry Jones with its Point Courage Award at its annual Los Angeles benefit. Motorola will receive the Point Inspiration Award.
And Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane has confirmed it. Baby Stewie is gay. MacFarlane said, "We decided it's better to keep it vague, which makes more sense because he's 1 year old. Ultimately, Stewie will be gay or a very unhappy repressed heterosexual." The show debuts its 8th season September 27th.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Come to Chicago's North Side for the free Glenwood Avenue Arts Fest in Rogers Park, August 22nd and 23rd. The 8th annual fest features arts and crafts, theater, music, food, and drink on the brick streets of the historic Rogers Park. Kid Fest areas offer hands-on crafts for children. Take the CTA Red Line to Morris and Glenwood Avenues for a free weekend of art and fun for the whole family. There's more information available at glenwoodav.org.
Hey, I'm Sin.
And I'm Jack.
And we're putting the B in the big gay alphabet with a he said, she said conversation about today's question. So, Jack, I heard Gerald Butler came out about bisexual or something. What's up with that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, some website dug up like an old interview with him whereby he said he had relationships with women and relationships with men, but he doesn't really identify as straight and he doesn't identify as gay. And I'm kind of in the same boat as him, but I think it's a great example of bisexuality coming forth from a male point of view, because what we've seen, people who are out as bisexual in Hollywood, like for guys, there are very few of them, but one of them is Alan Cummings, and he's not exactly the most masculine man out there.
Yeah, he's kind of flaming.
Yeah, and Gerald Butler, he was in like 300 AD, and that was like big to do.
And he plays that total dude role in that new movie.
Yeah, he's in like some romantic comedy that I'll never see.
Romantic comedy lead guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool for a bi dude to be doing that. However, what did he say about that, though?
I think it's from a couple years ago, before he really hit big in Hollywood, too. Oh. So I'm not sure if like the studios or anything are trying to throw water on that flame, per se.
Well, I don't know. I don't really care about celebrities. I mean, I guess it's always good to have role models or out people in Hollywood, especially. To show that we're everywhere, but I don't know. I don't really care about the celebrities. Who else is bi in Hollywood?
There are a lot of like speculations, but people who have come forth having admitted that they had relationships with men and women, Angelina Jolie.
But she's a freak.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want a sample of her blood. Megan Fox.
I don't know. Who
she's
that
like
is.
The hottest woman out there right now.
Should I go Google her?
Yeah, Google her. She was dating. That actor who played David Silver on 90210, Brian Austin Green.
Oh, okay.
They have a really interesting relationship. She's allowed to see other people, but he's not.
I've heard a lot of bis do that.
Yeah.
I don't either. So can she only date other women?
I'm not sure. I think she's open to anybody.
Wow. Interesting. Is that a Hollywood thing, you think, or?
Or maybe a West Coast.
I guess so. So, well, do you think this is a good examples of bisexuality and?
Absolutely. And I would like to see Gerald Butler man up and talk about it more in further interviews and press junkets that he's doing for his movies and other vehicles.
Do you think that's going to happen, though? I mean, I know you'd like it, but...
Yeah, I'd like it, but, you know, with the internet craze and everybody, like, researching blogs and dirt, I'm sure it will surface in the future for him.
Well, yeah, probably also with the gays, we'll probably be all over him.
Yeah.
And that could maybe even help. Yeah. Help his career.
Maybe he'll need a certain new kind of sword and shield.
So that's By the Way this week. I'm Sin.
And I'm Jack.
And we'll be back with more of the Bee here on the Windy City Queercast.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
Hey, everybody. This is Richard Knight Jr., your Night at the Movies Minute film critic, with news about an exciting new film series being held in Chicago. Queer Cinema 102 is the title of a new five-film Monday night series that will screen offbeat camp quote-unquote classics, the bad, the perverse, the hilariously over-the-top, but little-seen cinema disasters. Each of these babies has been personally selected and will be hosted by the participating gay film critic. The series is only the second time that openly gay movie critics from Chicago's GLBT publications, Chicago Free Press, Gay Chicago, Windy City Times, as well as Time Out Chicago, will jointly present a film series which is being co-sponsored by a new group of LGBT film critics, historians, academics, and authors called the Queer Film Society. On Monday, August 24th, gay Chicago editor and film critic Jonathan Lewis gets things started right with The Ritz, the 1976 comedy hit set in a bathhouse with hunky Treat Williams, leading a cast that includes Rita Moreno in her comedic masterpiece, otherwise known as Googie Gomez. You'll never forget Googie. I will be hosting on Monday, August 31st, and we're showing Suddenly Last Summer, the 1959 camp masterpiece from Tennessee Williams, thanks to Gore Vidal's script, in which Katharine Hepburn wants Monty Clift to bore a hole in Elizabeth Taylor's skull so she'll stop babbling about Cousin Sebastian's preference for rough trade and how he somehow got eaten alive by a million boys. Oops, I gave away the ad to Wet. The homoerotic subtext is so thick in this one, we'll be handing out knives at the door. No, we're just kidding. We skip a week so you can contemplate the two cinema wrecks you've seen already for Labor Day, and we return on Monday, September 14th, when Time Out Chicago's film section editor and critic Hank Sarton hosts the camp 1968 sci-fi freakout known as Barbarella with Jane Fonda and John Philip Saxon Law. I can never remember his name, but he's blonde, he's hot. Greg Shapiro, film critic for Chicago Free Press, hosts the 1977 John Waters lesbian classic, Desperate Living, on September 21st, which is one of my favorite Waters films. It's the one in which Edie Massey's The Queen yells out, "Seize her and fuck her," to her lesbian minions. Finally, gay Chicago film critic Charlie Choquist, I can't speak anymore, hosts one of the most fabulous, hideous films ever committed to celluloid, Pia Zadora in The Lonely Lady. This 1983 masterpiece of kitsch finds little Pia applauded by a bevy of nefarious Hollywood degenerates as she rises to the top of the Hollywood heap. Look out for that garden hose, Pia! You'll know what we mean. Oh my God, it's so bad, it's so fabulous. And of course, audience participation is encouraged. Each screening will be followed by a Q&A with audience members, and all five of the critics will participate in a roundtable discussion following both the Ritz the first night. And we're all going to be singing "Everything's Coming Up," Earl says, "No, really." No, we're just kidding. The series is being partly sponsored by www.hannahfree.com, and the films will be shown at 7 p.m. at the Center on Halsted, 3656 North Halsted, in the Hoover Leppin Theater in Chicago. Seating is on a first-come, first-served basis. A $5 suggested donation is requested. Don't live in the Chicagoland area. Queer Cinema 102 is the perfect excuse for you to fly in and join us. Visit www.queerfilmsociety.org for further information. And this very long announcement is over.
8 times a week, another 2,000 Chicagoans experience the musical phenomenon that is Jersey Boys. Jersey baby. When this supercharged sensation first arrived, the Tribune proclaimed, "Jersey Boys rock Chicago." And it has. Over 500,000 people have thrilled to the smash hit blockbuster about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Every night at the Bank of America Theater, a new audience goes wild for the story of four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. So the only question left is, what are you waiting for? Discover what everyone's cheering about and take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music with Jersey Boys. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 17th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Poseidon, an upside-down musical, will float your boat, says the Chicago Tribune. See the Jeff-recommended hit musical parody of the cult classic disaster film now held over at the Chopin Theater. For tickets and information, go to handbagproductions.org.
Signal Ensemble Theater opens their seventh season with Edward Albee's The Ballad of a Sad Cafe, playing through September 12th at the Chopin Theater. The owner of the Sad Cafe takes in a stranger in 1930s Georgia, creating a dramatic, then violent love triangle. The Tribune recommends see more shows at Signal Ensemble Theater. For tickets, visit signalensemble.com.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical, now extended at the Apollo Theater. Don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
See what all the buzz is about when Tony Award-winning choreographer Bill T. Jones debuts his Lincoln-inspired dance theater event at Ravinia in September. Tickets are available at ravinia.org.
About Face Theater presents Flip Flop Pop, the 70s. Now in its third year, Flip Flop is back. Chicago's grooviest cabaret and musical theater stars dazzle in a gender-bent night of music from the 1970s, where the guys sing songs by women and the women sing songs by men, with Elizabeth Laidlaw, Stephen Rader, Ora Jones, Tom Michael, Patrick Andrews, and more. Visit AboutFaceTheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Colton Ford, and you're being turned on by the Windy City Queercast.
I called you yesterday. You're too busy to have a conversation. I'm trying hard to hold on to us, but seems like you don't want to stay. So tell me why is this someone taking my
So we're back. We're not in a car. We're not in the rain. We're just here in our house.
We are.
And we've seen the show.
We have.
And what did you think? You've never seen Cabaret.
Yeah, it's a really fantastic show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted there. I wish that there had been a little bit more kind of grunge and danger and sex. But I thought the performances on the whole were really wonderful, and seemed to be a great crowd out there last night.
There were some hotties in Oak Brook.
There were a few hotties.
Can we just talk about that? The hot women are in Oak Brook.
We don't know if they're in Oak Brook. We were out there too,
so we were hotties, right? In the
crowd.
We saw a lot of gay guys and a lot of hot women.
Shocking in the theater to see gay men.
Shocking in the theater. But we saw that I was really impressed that you and I both did a few triple takes in that theater.
That's true.
And that's rare. I don't think we do that a lot when we're walking around the city, do we? Well, we did the other day in Evanston. Maybe we're just horned up, but we've been noticing the hot women lately. It's so good to share that in common.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't guess if you're straight, you really can do that. You know, you're not both looking at the same person. That's at least maybe the interesting thing of being with somebody gay.
That is true.
Is that you're both kind of...
Or bi.
That you're both kind of looking... Well, if you're with somebody bi, you could just be equal opportunity offender to look at whomever, you know? If you're a Gerard Butler and you're hot to men and women, You're like a kid in a candy store.
A bull in a china shop.
No. Well, he is. He's a big, big, thick lunk of a man. So, yeah, head out to Oak Brook. Hot women, hot men. Big
really
show.
Really great show. Really great
Lots
show.
Lots of sparklies. Our dear sweet Patrick playing the MC. I can't believe they learned all of that in 2 weeks.
It's pretty
And
staggering.
Then he grew a mustache.
I can't believe he grew a mustache.
So if you come to see him in Flip Flop this Monday, I haven't really talked about that too much, but I'm going to be hosting at Sidetrack this coming Monday, a benefit that we do every year for About Face Theater. And what it essentially is, well, this year it's a cabaret, but with a spin, because we've got beats under the piano keyboard, and it's the theme is the 70s, so we're having a pop sound this year. It's not all show tunes, and we're going to be in the glass bar at Sidetrack, and $40 is your donation in. You get a drink, and you are entered into a raffle to win tickets to the Goodman Theater and other theater shows around Chicago. So, plus, it's really fun. There'll be singers, all different kinds of cabaret and musical theater singers. Everybody from Elizabeth Laidlaw, who many of you know from Xena, or maybe you saw her out in The Maids at Writers Theater. Patrick Andrews, whose Cutie Patootie was in Stupid Kids, and now is starring as the MC in Cabaret out at Oak Brook, which we saw last night. Tom Michael, fantastic cabaret singer extraordinaire. The very hunky Paul Oakley Stovall is flying in from New York to do this, and Steven Rader, who you know on the show. So it's really an opportunity.
Steven Rader.
And I will be hosting in fuchsia. So if you saw me hosting in yellow, it's my theme this year. I'm just going through the rainbow.
Colors.
I have big wide leg chiffon pants. I'm going to be pulling the Bianca Jagger slash.
It's going to be a little scary slash beautiful.
No, it's hot. I've All already right. told my Chili Pepper song, Chili Pepper story on the podcast that Chili Pepper approved my outfit. So there is no other.
There's no greater validation than that.
There is none. Hey,
Hey.
While we got Flip Flop this week, and you're going to be gone for that, as we've already discussed. You're heading off to Michigan. I'm actually.
Or Splish Splash, as Lee
calls
it. Or Splish
Splash, as our friend Lee calls it. I am going to be heading to my first trip to Europe without you.
That's sad.
That's the sad part. You're dealing with death and dying, and I'm dealing with...
Mamma mia.
I just want to run down a hill in Greece on an island singing Abba.
I think you should.
I'm going to record it on my Flip. It's going to be amazing. We're going to create a movie. I am going to podcast from Greece. It won't probably be pushed out until I come back to the stateside. But
hopefully nothing will be pushed out in Greece.
Well, I don't know.
Or let in.
Oh, I don't know. But I've had this awesome opportunity.
Too much Slovaki.
Too much Slovaki. Moussaka. I don't know.
Whoopa.
Uzo. I've never been to Europe. And this opportunity to go to Greece and stay in someone's family's coach house was offered to me, and I kind of jumped at it. And an old dear friend of mine, Vicky, who hopefully you will all get to hear on a podcast, who has a very thick southern accent, is going to be joining me. And I'm so excited because I've always wanted to go to Greece. I've always wanted to go to Athens, and my background being in theater and English and the classics, and I've always thought, like, it's just the oldest place I could probably imagine going in the Western world,
mm-hmm.
of course. And I'm so excited. I'm terrified, too. I hate to pack a suitcase for 3 days. So to pack a suitcase for almost 2 weeks is... And
You're
I've never
be naked
flown
most
that long.
Of the time.
I am going to be naked
so
most of the time.
So the clothes really are...
Really just underwear is all I need. I mean, they have a lot of naked beaches there, nude beaches. So this could be really a nice thing for my tatas, is what I'm saying.
Tatas. You'll get to see a lot of...
In the grand tatas.
Teepees floating around.
I know. Well, and some other things. But I'm really excited because I'm going to have this city experience where I'm going to go to the Acropolis and the Parthenon. I mean, that's the plan. They have now opened the new Acropolis Museum, which is they've been trying to do for many, many years, and they have now gathered all of these pieces of art from other museums around the world and said, you know, we need them back here now. And I'm just so excited about that. I'm excited about the food. And then I'm going to be spending all this time in the Greek islands.
It is going to be a transformational experience for you.
I think so.
Take your fear and just put it in a box.
I know. I mean, what's to be scared of? Like a almost, you know, free trip to Europe.
Nothing. You just need to stop listening to people telling you about blood clots on the airplane.
Yes.
My mother is a
bit of a buddy beware. Kind of
buddy beware, there's a ghost behind you.
Yeah, a little you know. Now be sure you do your exercises while you're on the airplane so that you don't get a blood clot and it doesn't go to your heart and kill you. And you know, be sure now, Amy, you need to wear your passport maybe up against your chest under your shirt in a plastic thing that'll make me sweat to death.
I think we should just sew your passport onto your chest.
I think if we just sewed it into my skin, that would be excellent. This is why I'm really all for barcoding everybody. I think that would be great. We should get a chip, just like Nilla gets a chip in her neck. Just a little chip. That would just tell you all the information. There would be no identity theft there.
This is going down a very weird, windy road.
Yeah, this is the windy, weird road my mother has taken me to Greece, let me tell you. She's so scared I'm going to get attacked, robbed. I'm like, Mom, I believe there's a U.S. embassy somewhere in Greece. I'm sure that I would be fine.
You are going to have... It's just going to be a remarkable experience. I wish I could do it with you.
Well, you know, we had...
But I'm going to the great city of Kalamazoo.
State of Michigan. Come
there's
on.
There's a lot of history
Sin
there.
Sin is very excited that you're going to the great state of Michigan.
Michiganders.
Michiganders. But no, it's really interesting. You know, I did a podcast months and months ago with Robert from outadventures.com. And I told him, you know, this, I really wanted to do some traveling and that... It's so interesting that, you know, I've been waiting on my life to kind of stop so I could go to Europe because I've never taken 2 weeks off in my adult working life. And, you know, it may become a new trend. Watch out, Tracy. But I'm very excited about it. And, you know, I will hopefully have pictures and maybe some video, who knows, and some other stuff to show you.
Porn.
Some porn. Some tatas to show you. So while we're both away, I just have to talk about this because you and I, you know, we do have some television obsessions, and we should just say we're now through season 3 of Battlestar Galactica. If you're not watching it, we are on hiatus.
If you're not watching it, frack off.
Frack off. We're on hiatus until Kelly gets back from Kalamazoo because we don't watch those without each other. So we are waiting for season 4 and season 4.5. But you and I have not been able to talk at all about our obsession with Nurse Jackie, and the season finale is coming up this weekend. On Monday, mm-hmm. Yeah. And which means I don't know how you're going to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have to watch it online because I'm going to watch it. But if you're not watching this show, you've got to go back on demand, or I don't know how long it'll take these DVDs to come out. But it's in the same way that Sex and the City used to pack in what felt like an hour in a 30-minute, 23-minute episode. They do that on this Nurse Jackie show. Edie Falco, brilliant.
Brilliant.
I'm already twittering about her. Eve Best, hot, funny, sarcastic.
English.
Dry, tall. We love her. Anna Deavere Smith.
Probably. Whose baby is this?
Whose baby is this?
The what do you say?
I mean,
the writing is, for the most part, I think, really outstanding.
Tell the story, like, what is it about, in case people don't know, in a nutshell. Don't tell the tweets.
I won't tell the little tweets in case you haven't seen it.
Because there are lots of
them. But essentially, it is about a woman who is an RN, who is Edie Falco, mm-hmm. Jackie, who works in a Catholic hospital, right?
Yeah,
is it a
somewhere
Catholic
in New
hospital?
York.
Somewhere in New York. And she is addicted to medication, and she has a secret life.
Yeah,
let's
she's
just
a drug addict.
That. She's a drug addict, compassionate, heartful nurse with a secret life.
And with a really curvy moral line.
Very curvy moral line. It is well written. It is well directed. It is
superbly
cast.
It has like a little shock out of almost every episode.
And I love Edie Falco. And
yeah.
I think I told you this story, but when I moved to New York when I was 20 years old, she was in this tiny, tiny basement theater. I can't remember what play it was, But all I remember is seeing that woman and going, God, what a weird name. And that woman is going to be somebody.
Hmm.
That woman is going to be a star one day. She just had something.
Yeah.
I love her. Yeah. Love her, love her.
Well, and
I think two women created this show.
Mm, I didn't know that.
I think they did. The two women who are just really remarkable. If you're not watching it, I think it's some of the best television on TV. And
yeah.
Anna Deavere Smith is superbly comical and just
which
wonderful.
Which is not what some we normally get to see her do,
her
right?
Her best work. Well, yeah, she does the theater
intense,
that, yeah.
You know, character studies.
Real life stuff. And she's amazingly talented in that. We just haven't seen this side of her, which I think is just delicious to get to watch her be such a hard-ass kind of comedian.
Yeah, and Eve Best is obviously a fantastic British actress, stage actress, performed with Kevin Spacey on Broadway last year, and, you know, in The O'Neill. And it's, you know, what's so fascinating is here we've talked about Edie Falco, Anna Deavere Smith, Eve Best. I mean, three kind of giants, you know, in the 40-something to 50-something age in the theater. And they are almost entirely being eclipsed by this young 20-something, Merritt Wever, I think is how you pronounce her name.
Or Weaver.
It doesn't have an A in it.
Oh, so Wever.
Wever, who plays the little intern nurse to Edie Falco, who literally is so funny, Kelly, and I have to, like, back up and rewind and watch her. Just watch her face, even when she's not talking. She is, I think she deserves an Emmy and nomination. If she doesn't get one, I will be shocked because, you know, even Entertainment Weekly singled her out, and it's just not a part that you would expect to eclipse everybody else on the show, but she is something else.
Yeah.
She is really so funny. Now, our big landmark show, you know, the past 2 years has been Mad Men, and now it's coming back on as Nurse Jackie goes off. So it gives us a little something. So everybody watch the Mad Men if you're not watching the Mad Men. But we really just wanted to plug Nurse Jackie. What a great show that... And the only gay character... Well, there's two gay characters.
Two gay characters.
One of color, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it is a show we should be talking about, I think.
Yeah, let us know what you think if you're watching it. Because hopefully you're all feeling the same way that we are.
So, coming up in the next couple weeks, you know, I'll be on next week. I'm not going to miss any shows while I'm gone. I've got some great interviews coming up, one with Paul Quinn, who's going to be talking to me about the tarot, which totally fascinating to me, tarot cards. And he is so, so lovely. So I'm meeting him on the beach to have a reading and talk about, you know, is it different to read somebody who's GLBT? And why would you look at the tarot cards in a way that has anything to do with sexuality? And also, I'm going to be taking you to the AIDS conference that happened in South Africa. It's been a while since we've kind of looked at the HIV and AIDS pandemic and what's being done on a preventive and also a medicinal manner of people living with HIV and AIDS. And this conference is really the cutting edge place where people around the world come and talk about you know, new measures being taken. And Jim Pickett from AIDS Foundation of Chicago on with me as well. Plus, Ms. Cleo is going to be on the next show. So she's just going to kind of, we're here. It's not really the middle of the year, but somehow I feel like before we tip over into the fall and head into the winter, it seems like kind of a midway point just to check in with Cleo and what's going on. I'm sure we'll be discussing death panels and Obama and all things political and what's been going on in Florida for her. The weather, she's definitely said that the weather would be very bizarre this year, and that has definitely been true, at least in the Midwest, and I think for others as well. So all that coming up, and Kelly will be gone.
I'll be gone.
You'll be gone. You'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah. We'll have to get you on at least sometime in October.
That'd be grand.
All right. So everybody, until next week, Miss Cleo on the show, watch Nurse Jackie. It's our tip of the week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host.
Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast. Queer and now.